Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is episode 89 of season number 3. Jed Hoyer at the GM meetings. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on all the socials. Fly the W670, Twitter, Instagram. Of course, we're on Facebook, and you can email Crowley and I at flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, the general manager meetings are down in San Antonio, Texas, and Jed Hoyer and all the executives and the super agent Scott Boris are down there exchanging ideas.
Yep, everything's bigger than Texas other than Cubs contract offers, right? So when we talk about what happens in GM meetings, you know, there's a couple of things that happen. They like to discuss rule changes and policies. They come up with recommendations for the Joint Competition Committee. Obviously, you know, we've had a lot of rule changes in the last few years in the game. They take a look at, like, they go to different seminars where they, you know, they talk about, like, television contracts, revenue sharing, new technologies, international markets. Obviously, we know the Cubs are going to be starting in Japan this year. And so there's just so much that they do there. But the real thing that kind of starts to happen is it's really the first time where everybody's all together, right? The executives from the clubs, the agents, the beat writers. So a lot of what happens is like the groundwork for later on trades or, you know, different free agent acquisitions kind of starts to happen here. It's where everyone kind of starts really kind of feeling each other out. So like, you know, with Hoyer, Boris, and the Cubs beat writers all there, 670 The Score was able to get some great audio from San Antonio. So, you know, we kind of divided this up into a couple different sections. The first section that we're going to talk about has to do with what Jed has to say about the current team and what it looks like going into 2025. And obviously the biggest thing that we found out recently is Cody Bellinger opts in. And so this is how Jed feels that it's going to affect the offseason.
Most of this gives us clarity. I think now we know what our roster looks like, and now we can go about building the team. So I think before that, there was some uncertainty, and now it adds clarity. And spend the next 4 days talking to teams and talking to agents and getting a feel for the market.
So, you know, if they were waiting for Cody Bellinger, then obviously, you know, there was two pathways. We talked about that on the last episode. This pathway, they now know that Cody's part of the team, so you don't have to – I mean, there's not much we talked about that you could do to really address hitting. It's mostly going to be pitching. It's going to be relief pitchers and starters and definitely improving on the bench, right? You can definitely get some better bench play. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. Now, Scott Boris was there and he had his own thoughts on Cody Bellinger.
What went into Bellinger's decision to pick up the player option?
I think, you know, he's very, very happy with his situation and his contract. I think last year he got nicked for a few days running into a wall and doing things like that. And, you know, he felt that because of his age, because of his contract, that, you know, he just kind of wanted to c- comfortable platform to go out and put together another season before he considered free agency again.
Yeah, you know, that's really spinning a story. You know that if Cody Bellinger had another great year like he did in 2023, he would be out the door, right?
Out the door.
I mean,
without a shadow of a doubt.
So it wasn't the year he was looking at. He did bring up he got banged up early, those ribs, you know, colliding into a wall and whatnot. But yeah, it's he didn't have the year he wanted. I know Ian Happ's happy. I know Dansby and other teammates are happy. But, you know, I think if Cody, you know, and I'm sure Cody Bellinger's fine still being here, but, you know, he wants that big contract. And again, he's going to give it another shot this season. And again, if he has a successful 2025, which we all are hoping he does, he's out the door because he has another opt out in 2026.
Yep. So, I mean, I think it's good for both sides at this point. Listen, you know, the 25, you know, how many, and maybe not, you know, homework assignment. Okay. How many $25 million a year players do the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, the Mets, how many of those do they have? More than one, right?
Right. I'd say easily three to four each.
Okay. Right. And the Cubs have how many?
Not many. We're talking about
one. They have one player making $25 or more million a year in a single year. Cody Bellinger, right? Cody Bellinger is the highest paid player. Shota's not a $25 million a year pitcher. He might be someday, but he's not right now, right? There's no 20. Say a Suzuki's a $18 million, $17 million a year player, right?
How much does Dansby get a year?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
19, 20, but I'm just saying, it's not, they don't have multiple $25 million players. So yeah. I think it's something that's important that he should not throw a complete wrench in what their offseason plan is.
No, I mean, you would hope not. I mean, you'd hope that the team would be willing to spend the money, but I'm not sure. Obviously, with Cody Bellinger staying in, I think it's pretty obvious that they're going to keep that lineup that we talked about, that phenomenal defensive lineup with Happ in left, three-time gold glover, PCA, who, again, I'm still livid that he did not even get put as a finalist, much less not win it. And then I think it's going to be a better year defensively for Bellinger because it's hard to play right field at Wrigley, you know, and he didn't have a lot of experience, you know, learning how to play the bounces and, you know, there's other little things here, but then that means the odd man out is Seiya. And this is what Jed had to say about Seiya Suzuki and his role.
It was premature on that. But yeah, I thought Seiya did a great job when he was DHing. We didn't have injuries down the stretch, but you know, I think anytime you just have depth at a bunch of positions, you know, you lose an outfielder, and all of a sudden having the ability to slot a guy like that in is really nice. But, you know, Seiya had a great year. I think he was top 10 in the National League in OPS. obviously Cody's our best defensive right fielder, but certainly I think Seiya is solid and it has room to improve.
So we already mentioned that Seiya Suzuki right now is going to be a Gold Glover. And so Seiya Suzuki is nominated for being a Silver Slugger, right? And we talked about his defensive deficiencies. The other thing, Dustin, that I always think about is that, you know, Seiya's a guy that has these weird injuries that happen, right? I think if he is not in the field, he's less likely to get injured. And so I think that's another thing. If you can keep Seiya Suzuki healthy all year at DH, I think that's going to be a benefit.
Well, it sure can't help. I mean, it can't hurt to have him in a position where he's going to know what he's doing on a day in and day out basis. And I would suspect every once in a while they'll want to get Cody off of his feet, right? They'll want to get him off of his feet. Maybe they do a little swap on a getaway day or something like that.
Maybe, or maybe you just go with your fourth outfielder if that's Mike Tauchman or whoever. You know, it's something you can look at. But, you know, so now we have the outfield set. We got the DH. A lot of questions have been going around about Michael Busch, you know, and I think out of all the positions, that first base, second base thing, especially with, you know, thoughts about Nico Hoerner being traded or something, you know, and everyone was talking, is Michael Busch maybe going to slide over and play second? Well, Jed Hoyer answered this question in San Antonio.
Might a little bit, but ultimately I think he's I want him to focus on first base. Okay. I thought he got better and better and better and better, and I thought, like, certainly the second half of the season, I thought he was Gold Glove quality. I mean, I think if Christian Walker is in the American League, I think he's winning a Gold Glove, and really, other than April when he was getting still reacclimated at first, I thought he was fantastic. So I think he's a weapon over there, and I do think when you have someone over there that's really good, it provides comfort for your infielders. I think he you know, you can position a little bit differently because he's able to get so far off the line. I think it makes a big difference.
Like you guys would be tempted in spring as Nico's working back to put him in second, or?
Yeah, I mean, maybe because we now know he can play first. Right. He doesn't have to work on it. He can, like, move around a little bit, but I mean, the expectation is that he's playing first.
I said it in last week's episode, or the last episode we had, that I thought that, or maybe it was a couple episodes ago, I thought that Michael Busch has a chance to be a Gold Glover next year. And I agree with Jed on that, that if Christian Walker's in the AL, the way that he, especially the way he put, see, the first half is what everybody, your first impressions of Michael Busch at first defensively were like, not so great here. And then all of a sudden, every single month, better and better and better. And to me, by the end, you know, you're talking August, September, he was making phenomenal picks, phenomenal stretches, just looked really, really good at first. And again, for a team that struggled with guys at third, with Nico having that injury that caused him to not be able to throw as well, I thought he was a huge asset defensively, and I think he's only going to get better offensively.
I agree that he got better. There's no doubt. He got better each and every day. So that was another good thing. He got better.
And so we move from first to the other corner spot. Isak Paredes didn't necessarily have, you know, didn't have what the Cubs were looking for as far as you were hoping, you know, with trying to make a run like they were at the end, that Isak would give you a little bit more. And the question was, okay, well, what was going on with Isak? And so here's Jed on Isak Paredes.
When a guy has a really good track record and does it on the road, I feel like it wasn't as if you look at what he did with the Cubs and it was blanket negative. I mean, actually, like, on the road, he was a really good player. He was sort of, you know, he probably even better than the player that we expected. So, I just expect him to come in and play well. He has a track record. He's a really good hitter. He controls his own. So that's what I expect.
Now, when you take a look at it, yeah.
Well, wouldn't the breaking news have been if he said, you know, I mean, what else? Here's the thing about some of this stuff is what do you expect him to say, right? What did you expect Jed Hoyer to say there?
I, more than anything, for me, when I was looking at things, it was more like, okay, how did he look at home versus how did he look at the road? And just at Wrigley Field, it was just absolutely atrocious. He was just awful. And on the road, he was really bad. And multiple times, Scott Boras brought it up with Cody Bellinger. I know that Jed Hoyer's brought it up. Those guys have all talked about the weird weather patterns at Wrigley. You know what? Let's see what happens next year. Let's see what happens next year. Let's look at the offensive numbers and see how how much of a role the weather did.
How do you build a team to go against the Wrigley Field weather? How do you do that?
Well, you have to be able to have guys that can do multiple things. You have to have guys that can hit the homers. You have to be able to bunt. You have to be able to play small ball. You can't just like tailor your park in a one-dimensional way. You have to be able to have multiple guys that can do multiple things. If all you're going to have guys do is slug, you're going to struggle in April, May, and sometimes in September. We've seen it all the time when the wind's blowing in and when it's cold. And like I said, last year, how many balls did we see just for whatever reason die at the warning track? It was forever. It was ridiculous. And so I don't know how much of a, you know, I like I said, I want to find somebody that can explain it to me. Maybe Tom Skilling. I know he's retired. Maybe we can find him and get old Tom Skilling out here to kind of explain what happened. I don't know. I am just curious to see, you know, looking at the numbers at the end of 2025, if that weather is still a factor or not. Now, Dustin, the one spot that we know the Cubs need to upgrade is catcher. And Jed says they're talking to Christian Bethencourt. Here's Jed on Christian.
Yeah, Christian played great for us. And, you know, obviously I think he was a lot of fun to watch and certainly a guy that, you know, we have, you know, we'll probably have conversations with.
I think if Christian Bethencourt is the backup catcher next year, I'm going to be very disappointed in the offseason.
Yeah, I think backup catcher right now is not super high on my priority list. I mean, he was okay. I think he was better than we thought he was going to be.
He had a good couple weeks. I just think when you're talking about improving, right? We're talking about getting a starter. We're talking about getting some relievers, including lefties. And you're talking about improving your bench and a backup catcher. That's all you have. Everything else is kind of taken up. So no, I don't want to be just okay.
I'm more worried about the starting and, you know, adding another starting pitcher and rebuilding a bullpen. You know, that's kind of top of the food chain for me as far as what the priority should be this offseason.
See, for me, you always want, if you're talking about an ace starting pitcher, of course you always want that. When I'm looking at things from a perspective of the bullpen is number one. That was a disaster that has to get fixed. But I think there are guys out there that if you can use to be catchers that can, I think, better than Christian Bethencourt. That's all I'm saying is improve the bench.
You can upgrade. Absolutely, you can upgrade. You can upgrade. No doubt about it.
Now, the question that's being brought up, too, is about Nico, you know, about his injury, when he's going to come back.
Right? Yeah, his arm. Yeah, everybody's kind of, you know,
But what I heard from Jed, this was interesting, is what he talked about when he talked about second place.
I don't know if there's any ripple effects. I mean, I think it's a position that we have some depth in the minor leagues with, you know, guys like Shaw and Triantos. But certainly, you know, with Nico, unclear on timeline, but I don't think there's any ripple effects to this injury.
So I think the plan is if Nico's not ready to go, my guess is it's going to be either Shaw or Triantos, probably Shaw. We've had all the minor league broadcasters on there, including Mick Gillespie from Tennessee and Alex Cohen from Iowa. We've heard them all talk, and you know, I think there's a consensus that, you know, we'll get more power out of Shaw as far as James Triantos is concerned. He's very much a similar player like Nico that's going to spray the ball around. Neither of them are as good as Nico defensively. But I do think they're going to go with young guys rather than move Michael Bush over to second.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.